निद्रचारी तो जीवा बोल हरिहर मुकुंदम मुरार रामकृष्ण हरि.
Vidagdha Madhava, Act 7, Pastimes at Gauri Tirtha. Vrinda enters and looks in all directions. The breeze carries the sweet aroma scent of the blooming kadamba flowers. The jubilantly buzzing bees assemble on the yuti flowers. The peacocks dance and the earth is green with grass. Now that it is autumn, these 12 forests of Vrindavan delight my heart. Glancing behind the scenes, she says, "Why is Purnamasi talking with Abhimanyu in the garden by her cottage of leaves? Let me wait here for a moment." Purnamasi enters and says, "Abhimanyu, my child, why have you come to me so early in the morning?" Abhimanyu replies, "To ask your permission." Purnamasi asks, "For what?" Abhimanyu replies, "To take Radha to Mathura." Purnamasi, feeling very anxious, asks, "Why?" Abhimanyu replies, "There's a love affair between Radha and Krishna." Purnamasi asks, "Oh, hero, who told you such a thing?" Abhimanyu says, "My dear friend Govardhan." Purnamasi says, "Child Abhimanyu, although you think that you are very clever, your intelligence is not very good. The whirlpool of Kamsa's crookedness has spun you around in circles." Abhimanyu asks, "Their conduct is very well known. Why should I not accuse them?" Purnamasi says, "Son, is it not that your discrimination has been stolen by the tales of these gossipers? Please listen." Purnamasi says, "Aroused by a whiff of the sweet fragrance of her beauty, the tiger Kamsa is hunting the doe Radha. Why should you place her in the hand of this cruel tiger Kamsa?" Abhimanyu says, "O noble lady, what need be anxiety in that? With the sweetness of this great learning, my dear friend Govardhan keeps Kamsa under his control." Purnamasi broods for a moment and says, "O most fortunate one, you are the cousin of Krishna's mother. How is it that you have fallen into the circle of the short-lived enemies of Gokula village? Today I wish to place some restrictions on you." Abhimanyu says, "The noble lady may order me." Purnamasi says, "Child, if you actually do not accept that this malicious rumor is a lie, then at least investigate the matter, and when with your own eyes you see that it is true, then you may do as you wish." Abhimanyu says with humbleness, "O noble lady, I place the flower of your words upon my head." Purnamasi, happily and relieved, "O moon-faced one, may you become the master of many cows." Abhimanyu says, "O noble lady, my mother tells me again and again, because Chandravali worships goddess Durga, Govardhan Gopa's name has become very inappropriate for him. For this reason, your wife Radha should also become initiated into the worship of Durga." Note, the word Govardhana means master of many cows. Govardhana Gopa has become the master of many cows because of Chandravali's worship, and therefore his name is now very appropriate. Purnamasi says, "O auspicious heart, please know that very soon Radha will be initiated into the worship of a deity who is all auspicious." Abhimanyu says, "O noble lady, you are very kind to me," and then he exits. Vrinda walks up and says, "I offer my respects to the noble lady." Purnamasi notices her and greets her with words of benedictions. "Child, you possess all good fortune. Please tell me of the sweetness of Radha and Krishna's pastimes in the forest grove." Vrinda replies, "The pastimes of Radha and Krishna are the great treasure of transcendental conjugal love. Who would not stop describing them as long as transcendental bliss does not stop his voice?" Purnamasi, feeling very blissful, says, "O daughter Vrinda, if Lord Hari had not descended in Mathura with Srimati Radharani, this entire creation, and especially Cupid, the demigod of love, would have all been useless." For this reason, I am surprised that at this time you have come into Braj village. Brinda says, O noble lady, there is something very serious. For this reason, I am waiting here for Lalita. Purnamasi asks, What is it? Brinda replies, Yesterday I received a request from Krishna. He said, Please give very sweet beauty to the place Gauri Tirtha. In that place I wish to enjoy pastimes with my beloved, who will wear garlands of lotus flowers and hold a lotus in her hand. Purnamasi says, This is a very appropriate request, for today is the auspicious day known as Saubhagya Purnima. A famous verse says, A woman decorated by her lover with many wonderful flowers on the full moon day of the month of Shravana attains very great fortune. Then what else, Vrinda? Vrinda replies, A female parrot recited that verse in the assembly of gopis. Even though she knew that the verse actually referred to Radha, Padma glanced at Lalita from the corner of her eyes and vehemently said, Her transcendental form, glittering with happiness as she enjoys transcendental pastimes with Lord Krishna, the full moon of Chandravali shining with the moonlight of her good fortune, will wilt the ambuja lotus faces of the gopis blinded with pride. Note, the ambuja lotus opens during the day and closes with the moonrise at night. Purnamasi says, Then. Vrinda laughing says, Then, with a smiling glance, Lalita showed her contempt for the fool Padma. Early in the morning, Padma and I went to find Radha to arrange for her to go and meet Krishna. Look, even at this hour, she has still not come. Lalita says, Friend Vrinda, Padma had reason to be proud. Now I understand. How can we go there? Purnamasi says, My daughter, what do you mean? Lalita says, My noble lady, what is the use of our showing to you the sharp arrow of our misfortune? Purnamasi says, Child, I am very eager to hear it. Tell me. Lalita, with tears in her eyes, says, O noble lady, our dear friend Radha strung a splendid flower garland on a gold silk thread and gave it to Krishna. We later saw that same garland decorating Padma's braided hair. Purnamasi says, Your unhappiness is natural. It was not proper for Krishna to do that. Vrinda says, Now the trouble is ended. Purnamasi says, Vrinda, tell us how. Vrinda says, Speaking in human words, the old monkey Kakati told me what happened. Krishna placed the garland on the branch of the Kadamba tree and then went to bathe in the Yamuna. While he was bathing, the wind blew a circle of Ketaki pollen. During that whirlwind, Padma stole the garland. Later, Padma blamed the wind for blowing the garland away. Lalita says, Rascal, give up your cheating. Vrinda says, By the blossoming flowers, I swear it is true. Lalita, believing it to be true, says, Ah, it is true, it is true. Padma shows the garland to us and proclaims her good fortune, but then she hides it from Krishna's friends. Purnamasi says, Daughter Lalita, Padma is using her skill at deception. She has taken Chandravali to Gauri Tirtha on this full moon day just to undo your plan. Vrinda says, The noble lady speaks the truth. To take Radhika to Gauri Tirtha today seems inauspicious to me. Vishaka enters and says, Vrinda, you should say it seems auspicious. And Vrinda asks, Why is that? Vishaka answers, Hearing from the mouth of Gokula's queen Yashoda that today is the auspicious full moon day of Saubhagya Purnima, Karala has arranged that Chandravali spend the entire time by the side of her wrestler husband. Lalita, with happiness, says, Vishaka, may our worshipful deity, the sun god, be merciful to you. Hurry! Purnamasi says, Daughter Vrinda, I shall inform Radha of Abhimanyu's present fearful plan given to him by a wicked counselor, and then I shall stay with her at Gauri Tirtha to wash away the mud of all of her fears. Vrinda says, O noble lady, you should go with Radha and Vishaka to the grove of Lavanga trees east of Gauri Tirtha. In the meantime, the two of us will bring Krishna. Purnamasi exits with Vishaka. Lalita, walking with Vrinda, says, Ah, look! Way over there in the south, Padma is talking with Saibhya. Vrinda says, Friend, Vishaka will not lie. She goes ahead and then reflects. Friend, we were so excited and eager that even without knowing, Whether Radha will come, we have quickly gone a great distance. Let us wait here for a moment on the farther shore of the Jamuna. Then they both exit. Padma and Saibhya enter. Padma says, Friend Saibhya, don't be unhappy. Saibhya says, Padma, because I was not able to attain my greatest desire, I am not able to pacify my unhappy heart. A voice from behind the scenes says, Padma, Chandravali should at once be taken to the slope of Govardhan Hill. There my child may be nicely decorated with flowers. Saibhya says, Padma, now we have heard the noble Karala again spitting out poison words. Padma says, Ah, this is nectar. Drinking it, I have regained my strength. Saibhya says, bewildered, How is that? Padma says, O bewildered girl, Gauri Tirtha is by the side of Govardhan Hill. Saibhya with happiness says, In understanding how to achieve one's desires, you are the most learned scholar. Arise, let us both bring Chandravali to that place. Padma says, I already sent Chandravali there. Hurry, let us follow her. They both walk. Padma says, Saibhya asks, Padma, where's the offerings prepared for Gauri? Padma says, It was placed in the hand of Madhu Mangal. Saibhya says, When I consider the better position of our rivals, I wilt with despair. Padma says, Don't be unhappy. By showing them this garland, I have completely disheartened our rivals. Saibhya jubilantly embraces Padma. Padma says, On Sobhagya Purnima at Gauri Tirtha, filled with sweetly blossoming flowers, look at Chandravali happily enjoying transcendental pastimes with Lord Krishna. From behind the scenes, this verse beginning Sobhagya Purnima is recited. Saibhya, struck with wonder, looks, Ah! Making her mouth crooked, the old monkey cockatoo recites this verse in a hideous voice. In this way, she is mocking us. Padma, with a smile, says, Wicked monkey, I will set fire to your mouth. A voice from behind the scenes says, Padma, stay right there. Stay right there. No one is at your house. I am going there and I'll eat all the fresh butter. Saibhya says, Ah, it's true, it's true. She runs even as she speaks. Padma says, Don't worry, noble Karala is at home. She walks and then says, Look, look, his body leaning on the straight staff pressed against his left, Subal stands beneath the tree, herding the cows and singing, Rari. Saibhya walking says, I see Chandravali to the east of Sankarshan Kunda. Padma says, with happiness, His smiling face as beautiful as a lotus flower, his playful steps criticizing the gracefulness of the elephants, and the splendor of his bodily luster robbing the eyes of their fatigue, the moon of Krishna has now found the many moons of Chandravali. Krishna and Chandravali enter. Krishna blocks the path. O beloved, you have kindly assumed this form of a pitcher of the honey of beauty for the two bumblebees of my eyes. Chandravali says, Get out of my way. I am going to Gauri Tirtha where I shall worship the goddess Durga. Krishna, smiling, says, Seeing me, the hairs of your body rise out of respect. Your eyes affectionately offer many tears as pudget to wash my feet, and your breasts allow their bodice to slip a little to show me a splendid place to sit. O slender girl, even though you are crooked and hostile, your friends have been very polite and kind to me. Her two gopi friends approach and say, Friend, there are many paths. When one is blocked, we are stopped from taking the others. Chandravali, tilting her neck, she looks. Ah, fortunately, you are helping me. Krishna to himself says, How is it that even though I yearn to meet with Radha, it is Chandravali who has come to me? Padma says aside, just to Krishna, When I heard you say the girl who holds Padma's hand, I can understand your desire, so by a trick I have brought Chandravali to you. Krishna to himself says, Yes, I understand. I wish to have a Padma lotus ornament, and you misunderstood what I said. Is that your fault? And then openly he says, Friend, Padma's friendship for Krishna is very famous. Padma says, Now quickly take Chandravali to Gauri Tirtha. Krishna to himself says, The arrival of Chandravali will certainly check Radha from coming here. Chandravali's love for me is sincere. Let me give pleasure to my own heart by making her happy. Openly, he says, O friend, you give a great festival of happiness to Padma. You are always faultless, and you are filled with happiness to remain at Krishna's side. O Chandravali, you are wonderful. Note, if Padma is interpreted to mean lotus flower, Krishna Paksha to mean the dark fortnight, and Chandravali to mean a row of moons, then the verse reveals the following meaning. O friend, you are a wonderful row of faultless, wonderful moons that bring a great festival of happiness to the lotus flowers that always remain full even during the dark fortnight. Walking ahead, he says, O doe-eyed girl, look at the beauty of the forest. Padma says, Ah, here is Krishna's pet deer whose name is Suranga. His wife is the doe named Rangani. Krishna apprehensively points an ear in the direction of behind the stage and says to himself, Soft sounds from the throat of Rangani now arise. Does this not mean that Radha has also come? Padma says, Why is Suranga suddenly running to the south? Krishna again to himself says, Attracted by the sound of Rangani's voice, the deer has now gone to Gauri Tirtha. I shall wait for a while in the forest by Sankarshan Tirtha. Padma says, Filled with thousands of new lotus flowers and nectar waves that wash away all sins, this beautiful large lake appears like a great herd of Sotabi cows. Note, if the word Ahamana is interpreted to mean of Krishna, the killer of Agasura, Pomani to mean lotus-like girls, Rasa to mean the nectar of transcendental mellows, and Gokula to mean Gokula village, then the verse may be interpreted in the following way. This beautiful large lake appears like Gokula village, which is filled with thousands of lotus-like beautiful girls and tossed about by the waves of nectarian transcendental love for Lord Krishna. Krishna says, Beloved, look, look! Bearing great and wonderful love for the sun, delighting the bumblebees with its nectar, this lotus flower that has such a lovely world displays its beauty throughout the entire lake, just as you manifest your beauty throughout the entire world. Note, if Mitre is interpreted to mean friend, Ali to mean gopi friend, Karnika to mean earring, and Sarojini to mean lotus-like girl, this verse may be interpreted in the following way. Beloved, look, look! Bearing great and wonderful love for your intimate friend Krishna, delighting your gopi friends with the nectar of your friendship, you are a lovely girl decorated with splendid earrings. You are a lotus-like girl displaying transcendental beauty throughout the entire world. Saibhya says, Why does the moon of Krishna fill this beautiful lotus-like girl with unhappiness? Note, the Padma lotus blooms in the moonlight and closes its petals in the sunlight. Padma, pointing to the moon, speaks the following meaningful words. This fragrant lotus bears love in her heart for the sun. O moon who is red only for a moment, don't cast your moonlight upon her. Note, if Sura is interpreted to mean hero, Pomani to mean lotus-like girl, Amoha to mean happiness, Rao to mean love, Tadahisa to mean O Lord of Radha, and Karam to mean hand, then the verse may be interpreted in the following way. This delightfully beautiful lotus-like girl bears sincere love in her heart for the hero Krishna. O Lord of Radha, O Krishna whose love for Chandravali lasts for only a moment, don't place your hand upon her. Krishna says, O Padma, the moon is not at fault here. This lotus flower wilts because the fickle goddess of fortune Lakshmi Devi has abandoned her. Note, if Tadapati is interpreted to mean Krishna, the husband, Pati of Radha, Ara, then the word Padmani to mean lotus-like girl, and the word Padma to mean Padmagopi, then the verse may be interpreted in the following way. O Padma, Krishna is not at fault here. This lotus-like girl wilts with unhappiness because the fickle Padma has abandoned her. Chandravali, smiling, looks ahead and says, I think the creepers have noticed the overflowing greed of the intoxicated bumblebees and the creepers are now laughing with the great beauty of their flowers. On the pretext of dripping honey, this one delicate golden yuti flower sheds tears of love. Krishna says, Beloved, look, look! Glorified by the songs of the bumblebee poets and fanned by the chamra whisks of the tails of the Sarupi cows, The regal Kadamba tree stands with head held high. Chandravali says, "Ah, how enchanting is the beauty of the Vrindavan forest." Note, the word Lalita here means enchanting. If the word Lalita is interpreted to mean the Gopi Lalita, and the word Lakshmi is interpreted to mean goddess of fortune, then the statement becomes, "Aha, Lalita Gopi is the beautiful goddess who presides over the Vrindavan forest." Lalita and Vrinda enter. Lalita, looking ahead, becomes disquieted and says, "This is a great calamity." Vrinda says, "It is not easy to jump over Karala's order. How then has Padma been able to bring Chandravali here?" Lalita says, "Ah, you know all the mystic sciences. Pull Krishna out of this place." Vrinda says, "Chandravali is a treasure chest of the most valuable jewels of love for Lord Krishna. How shall we convince Lord Krishna to leave her?" Lalita says, "I offer my respectful obeisances to the powerful warrior that is Radha's love for Krishna. The slightest scent of the presence of that warrior makes the elder of modesty and morality flee as if they were so many thieves." Vrinda says, "Friend, you speak rightly. Still, Krishna is now showing kindness to Chandravali. Therefore, I say it will be difficult to pull him away from her." Lalita says, "Vrinda, you speak the truth. What will be our shelter in this calamity?" Vrinda says, "First, let us enter their circle. Then we may understand the truth of what has happened." They both walk. Saibhya looks and says to Padma, "Ah, Padma, is it not so that Radha has gone to Gauri Tirtha? Look, Lalita is coming from that direction." Padma says, "What harm is there for us? Krishna will find it very difficult to leave our dear friend Chandravali." Lalita approaches and says, "Oh, Chandravali, that stag ignores the love of his beloved, and he has become a debauchee who loves all the does. We should not allow the doe Rangani to stay in his house. I've come to you to bear witness that the stag has not remembered his beloved for an entire month." Chandravali smiles. Krishna, aside to himself, says, "Lalita has come for me." Glancing at Chandravali, he decides to resort to a trick. He then says openly, "Lalita, you criticize Suranga unfairly. You do not know the actual desire within his heart. Please give this message to the doe Rangani." And then he speaks, "O lover of Suranga, the stag always desires you. O doe whose eyes penetrate the heart, please know that Suranga's heart is in your power." Note, if the words Harana and Suranga are interpreted to be names of Krishna, then the verse may become, "O lover of Krishna, Krishna always desires you. Please know, O girl whose eyes penetrate the heart, please know that Krishna's heart is in your power." Padma says only to Krishna, "Krishna, now you've obtained your beloved. Now you may abandon us who are not qualified to associate with you." Krishna says, "O splendidly beautiful girlfriend, I vow that I have no love for the proud, crooked gopis who bear the fragrance of Radha." Note, this verse may be also interpreted, "O splendidly beautiful friend, I vow that I love the jubilant gopis who bear the fragrance of Radha. I have no love for Radha's enemies." Padma, with an insolent smile, says, "Friend Lalita, this is wonderful, wonderful. You were called Anuradha because you always accompanied Radha Gopi. How is it that today you have come here without Radha?" Note, Radha and Anuradha are also names of stars. Anuradha always follows the star Radha. Lalita says, "With great thirst the bumblebees kiss the regal elephant's cheek. The thirsty elephant goes to the lake, but the lake does not go to him." Note, in this little allegory, Krishna is the regal elephant. Chandravali's friends are the bees and Radha is the lake. The kisses of Chandravali's friends are simply an annoyance to the elephant Krishna, who thirsts after Radha. He pursues Radha, but she does not pursue him. Padma says, "O intelligent Saibhya, hear this one riddle from me. What girl is always painted on the canvas of Krishna's heart?" Saibhya says, "Friend, it is Chandravali." Vrinda says, with a smile, "You have understood perfectly. Vishnu's shield is decorated with the pictures of many moons. For this reason, they call his shield Sata Chandra, 100 moons. Note, Saibhya said that Chandravali is painted on the canvas of Krishna's heart. although Vrinda took Chandravali to mean merely a host avali of moons Chandra. Vrinda also interpreted the word holoka to mean shield instead of canvas. Krishna to himself says, "This girl is very pure at heart." Chandravali shyly walks to the left. Lalita says, "O dear friend Vrinda, O brilliant unraveler of riddles, tell the meaning of my riddle. By what name is Madhava Krishna known in this world?" Vrinda replies, "O friend, he is known by the name Radha." Krishna says, "This is correct. Madhava and Radha are both synonyms for the month of Vaishakha." Padma says, "Saibhya, what is the need for all these riddles? Now you may taste the happiness of nectarian transcendental pastimes with lotus-eyed Krishna." Saibhya, looking at the lotus pond, says, "Only as long as he does not notice the hosts of lotus flowers is the bumblebee pleased by the water lilies blooming in the evening." Note, if the word Kumudati is interpreted as a name of Radha, if Mudita is interpreted to mean jubilant, and if Padmali is interpreted to mean Chandravali, the friend of Padmagopi, and if Brahma is interpreted to refer to Krishna, then the verse may be understood to mean, only as long as he does not notice Padma's friend Chandravali is Krishna pleased by jubilant Radha in the evening. Padma says, "Ah, you speak the truth. Only as long as the host of moons do not rise in the sky as dark as a tamal tree, does the star Radha and the other stars appear to shine brightly." Note, if Radha is taken to refer to Radha Gopi, Chandravali to Chandravali Gopi, Tara Alihim to Taraka and other gopis, and Tamal to Krishna, whose complexion is dark as a tamal tree, the verse may be understood to mean, "Ah, you speak the truth. Only as long as Chandravali does not appear before Krishna, whose complexion is dark as a tamal tree, does Radha, accompanied by Taraka and her other gopi friends, appear very beautiful." Lalita says, laughing, "My friend, the splendor of the sun and Taurus eclipses the shining of even hundreds of moons." Note, if Vrishabhanuja is interpreted to mean Radha, the daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, and if Chandravali is interpreted to mean Chandravali, then the verse reads, "My friend, the beauty of Radha eclipses the splendor of hundreds of Chandravalis." Krishna, smiling, says, "What is the need for all these words? Let us simply enjoy the sweet fragrance of the spring season." Vrinda says with a smile, "What creeper does not burst into flower when springtime appears? I bow down to offer my respectful obeisances to the Madhavi creeper, which is personally named after spring, Madhava." Note, if Madhava is interpreted to be a name of Krishna, and Madhavi is interpreted to be a name of Radha, and if Vali is interpreted to mean a beautiful girl as delicate as a flowering creeper, then the verse may be interpreted to mean, "What beautiful girl as delicate as a flowering creeper does not feel her limbs blossom with happiness when Madhava or Krishna appears? I bow down to offer my respectful obeisances to Madhavi Radha, who is personally named after Lord Krishna." Padma, unhappy, walks and loudly exclaims, "Ah, Chandravali, why have you given up the worship of the goddess Durga, the mother of Ganesh? Why do you keep company with these rascals?" Krishna, as a rebuke, says, "Chandravali loves me, and you try to prevent her from approaching me. O Padma, you are like a karala weed that prevents a jasmine creeper from approaching a tamal tree." Karala enters and says, "Stop, I'll stop. By good fortune, I have found you on this path." Everyone turns, feeling frustrated. Saibhya speaks to Padma and says, "Padma, alas, alas, how did the old woman know we were here?" Karala says, "Aha, the old monkey greedy after butter spoke the truth." Padma unhappily glances at Saibhya. Lalita says to herself, "Old monkey cockatoo, I shall give you butter mixed with sugar." Krishna to himself says, "Beloved, I don't see any place for hiding. On the left is Govardhan Hill, whose tall peaks are difficult to scale. On the right, your noble husband is engaged in herding the cows. Behind us, there are no bushes suitable for hiding. In front of us is this cruel lady. What is the solution?" Chandravali to herself says, "Alas, alas, all of a sudden this harsh Chandala woman has become ferocious." Karala, angry, says, "Look, oh, look at the snake-like lust of this debauchee whose complexion is as dark as the Kusuma Tila Mascara, and whose sidelong glance is as fearful as the glance of a black snake. He has destroyed the auspicious chastity of all the pious girls in Gokula." Shaking her head and opening her eyes wide, she says, "Oh, black boy, whose wife is this? Do you know? Listen carefully, carefully listen. This girl's husband is a great wrestler. He is the intimate friend of Kongsa, the king of the Bojas." Krishna says, "Karala, so what?" Karala answers and says in a very angry voice, "Yes, yes. In the middle of the forest, you think that you have become another king? When he enters the assembly of the actual king of the cowards will strike his brow with regret." Krishna says, "Karala, I swear to you, the sight of Chandravali makes me tremble with fear." Note, if sadvasam is interpreted to mean the state of not meeting, and udvega to mean unhappiness, then the statement becomes, "Karala, I swear to you, when I gaze at Chandravali, I become unhappy that I cannot remain in her association." Karala, looking at Chandravali, angrily says, "O girl who spends sleepless nights in the forest, O girl who since childhood has been expert at secretly meeting with Krishna, O girl whose chastity has been destroyed simply by your thirst for Krishna's bimba fruit lips, which have already been tasted by thousands of gopis filled with amorous passion, stop, stop. Have you become frightened?" Lalita says, "O noble lady, what fault is there for the western horizon who simply desire to follow the lord of her life, her husband Varuna? What fault is there for the sun, who personally removes the fault of the darkness of night? It is the sunset who has become the matchmaker, bringing them both together and making them both red, who is at fault." Note, in this little allegory, the western horizon is Chandravali, the sun is Krishna, and the sunset is Padma. The meeting of Chandravali Krishna is not to be blamed on either Chandravali or Krishna. The blame goes to the matchmaker, Padma. Karala says, "Daughter, you speak the truth." Then she shows great pride. "O maidservant Padma, O girl expert at breaking up the homes of others, O eager matchmaker, O queen of unchaste women, how will you escape from my hand?" And then she raises her staff. Padma turns from her. And then she says, "O noble lady, I do not understand why you've become so unhappy. We were simply following your orders." Frinda to herself says, "Now the rascal Padma is speaking this tricky lie." Openly, Frinda says, "O noble lady, this foolish girl became bewildered because both the wrestler and the hill have the same name. For now, please forgive her." Note, Chandravali's husband is named Govardhan. The hill in Braj near Gauri Tirtha is also named Govardhan Hill. Karala told Padma to bring Chandravali to Govardhan, the husband, but Padma brought her to Govardhan Hill instead. Karala gives up her staff. Then Padma says, "Lalita, you wait, you wait. Now I am going to Jatila to pay you back." And then she exits. Karala says, glancing at Chandravali, "Come on, O housewife who goes in the forest, come on." She takes Chandravali with her, accompanied by Sabya, and then they exit. Krishna sighs, "Vrinda, is it not that you have now achieved your aim?" Vrinda says, "O Krishna, the graceful beauty of spring is now enjoying pastimes at Gauri Tirtha. She presents before you this gift of two very valuable slightly blossomed champaka flowers." Note, if the word Madhava Lakshmihi is interpreted to mean Radha, the goddess who is the personified opulence of Lord Krishna, then the statement reveals the following meaning. "O Krishna, she Radha, the beautiful goddess who is the personified opulence of Lord Krishna, is now enjoying transcendental pastimes at Gauri Tirtha. She presents before you this gift of two very valuable, slightly blossomed champaka flowers." Krishna says, happily taking the flowers, "Vrinda, while I see how my friends are protecting the cows, you two go ahead. I shall follow there." Vrinda, walking, says, "Lalita, look at the regal kadamba tree ahead." She approaches. "Ah, ah, O regal kadamba tree, Even the demigod Brahma, who was born from a lotus flower, cannot adequately describe your great good fortune. You beautiful forest of Vrindavan, your flowers cover the chest of Lord Krishna. Those mischievous flowers mock even the effulgent Kastuba jewel, the brother of the goddess of fortune. Note, the goddess of fortune and the Kastuba jewel were both from the ocean of milk, and therefore they are brother and sister. Lalita looks ahead and says, Brinda, there is the noble Purnamasi hidden in that grove of mango trees with Vishaka. Vrinda, noticing Radha by the clove creeper, says, Lalita, look, look. Is this beauty personified? Is this the glory of transcendental virtue personified? Or is this Radhika, the personification form of the greatness of transcendental love? Looking ahead, she says, her ear is decorated with lotus flowers, a lotus swinging at the end of her braided hair, a lotus resting in her lotus hand. She puts even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, to shame. A voice from behind the scenes says, decorated with a garland of Kadamba flowers, the flute in his hand, two charming flower-bud earrings swinging from his ears, tilak drawn from the red pigment Manashila beautifying his forehead, and the moon shining in his hair, Shri Krishna, the personified sweet nectar of Yashoda's great motherly love, enjoys transcendental pastimes in the distance. Lalita says, has noble Purnamasi not seen Krishna from far away? She is describing him. Vrinda says, Lalita, in truth, Krishna is not very far away. O friend whose eyes are restless like the Kanjana birds, the peacock named Tandavika spreads his tail feathers and dances. Without seeing the dark cloud of Shri Krishna, that peacock cannot bear to breathe or live for even a moment. Lalita says, friend, look at the grove of punaga trees by the cottage of Madhavi creepers in the south. Vrinda, looking happily, says, with the honey of his flute music, the Supreme Lord Krishna charms the Surabhi cows. His supremely splendid staff is the scepter that establishes his role as the king of the coward boys. Lalita says, the two still have not seen each other. Seeing only the doe Rangani, Krishna enters the grove of clove creepers. Vrinda says, look, look, O friend, perceiving the sweet fragrance flowing from Krishna's transcendental body in all directions, intelligent Radha, with a smile on her face, hides the creeper of her transcendental form in the cottage of Madhavi creepers. Again looking, she jubilantly says, Radhika's footprints in the dust announce to Lord Krishna the direction she had taken. Approaching from behind, Krishna covered Radha's eyes with his trembling hands. Lalita says, the hairs of her body standing erect in transcendental bliss, this crooked girl is now striking lotus-eyed Krishna with her toy lotus flower. Vrinda says, look, look! O friend, her frown revealing smiles, her words of no, no spoken with great happiness, weak resistance from her hands, and her dry tears, although she repeatedly tries to conceal her actual feelings, only clearly reveal the great love that Radha bears for Lord Krishna in her heart. Lalita says, expertly enjoying amorous pastimes, Srimati Radharani bites Lord Krishna with her teeth and scratches him with her nails, as if she has become his enemy. These activities bring Lord Krishna incomparable pleasure. Vrinda laughs and says, oh, Radharani, now that you have met Lord Krishna, your eyes are full of tears of joy that have washed away your black mascara. You have become so excited that perspiration has washed away the red kumkum adorning your breasts. As you gaze at Lord Krishna's chest, you yearn to embrace it. Your undergarment has also become loosened. I think it wishes to become untied altogether. Lalita says, how has this expert couple become hidden in the grove of Madhavi creepers? Vrinda says, when the bumblebees of his eyes drink the sweet, pure, sacred Madhviki nectar of the amorous pastimes of Shri Radha and Krishna, what person becomes satiated? Lalita says, ah, why have these bees abandoned these Madhavi flowers dripping with honey and instead hurried to the east? Vrinda says, friend, Radha and Krishna, the two crown jewels of all amorous couples, have left the cottage of Madhavi creepers and the bumblebees are hurriedly following their sweet fragrance. Come, let us delight our eyes by looking at the palace of creepers. They walk. Look, look! In this charming grove, there are scattered jewels and pearls from broken necklaces, wilted garments, fragments of golden ornaments and a bed fashioned from many flowers. This clearly shows that Krishna enjoyed very blissful pastimes here. Lalita, looking closely, says, "Smeared with saffron from Krishna's limbs, and red lac fallen from Radha's feet, and sprinkled with perspiration mixed with drops of red sindura, this broken bed of flowers delights my eyes." Vrinda, struck with wonder, says, "As a child she played in the dust, her ears newly pierced, and her hair only as long as a cow's ear, tied with a colored ribbon. Where has this Radha so expertly learned the art of amorous pastimes that she has defeated unconquerable Lord Krishna?" Lalita looks to the east and says, "Vrinda, look, not very far away are Radha and Krishna." Vrinda says, "What is she saying? Let us listen." From behind the scenes, Radha speaks, "Place a Kuvalaya lotus flower in my ear. Put a lavanga in my hair. Place a garland of mali flowers in my chest. Place a garland of kadamba flowers around my hips. O supremely pure Krishna, my gopi friends should not see me undecorated." Vrinda, smiling, says, "Marked with fingernail scratches as brilliant as threads dyed with manjishta, its peacock feather ornaments washed away by the waves of many amorous pastimes, and decorated with many drops of perspiration like glistening pearls, the transcendental form of Sri Krishna delights my mind." Krishna enters, accompanied by Radha, whose body is decorated. Krishna says, "Your curling locks of hair make these tilak decorations drawn in musk useless and redundant. Your eyes are so beautiful that they make the two lotus flowers in your ears wilt by comparison. The waves of the beauty of your splendid smile has crushed your necklace into dust. O Radharani, what is the use of your wearing all these decorations? You are already splendidly decorated by the beauty of your limbs. These other decorations are simply a waste of time." Both gopis approach and say, "O handsome one, these decorations of Madhavi flowers are very beautiful." Krishna takes the two clusters of flowers and says with happiness, "I am the object of the meditation for the hosts of liberated souls, and you are the constant object of my desire. O girl with the beautiful hips, it is proper that you be decorated with the Madhavi flowers." Note, if the word Atimukta is interpreted to mean the souls who have attained the ultimate stage of liberation, then the verse may be understood in the following way. "I am the object of meditation for the hosts of liberated souls, and you are the constant object of my desire. O girl with the beautiful hips, it is proper that you also be served by those souls who have attained the ultimate stage of liberation." Then he decorates Radharani. A voice from behind the scenes says, "The monsoon season now displays its youthful beauty. Even though the third quarter of the day is not yet over, the Surabhi cows, satisfied by the abundant new grasses, are now moving towards Gokula village." Lalita says, "O Radha, please give me permission to depart. I shall gather rare spring flowers to decorate you tonight." Then she exits. Krishna, smiling, says to Vrinda, "Vrinda, I wish to play a certain game. In this tree before us is Radha's confidential friend Kakati. You please arrange that Kakati take up my cause." Vrinda says, "So be it, I will try." Krishna approaches Radha and says, "My dear Chandrai." He stops in the middle of the word and pretends to become bewildered. Radha, aggrieved, says, "Alas, alas, why is it that even though they hear these words, my two ears do not burst apart?" Vrinda to herself says, "By waving this bunch of peacock feathers, I shall cast a spell over Kakati and force her to speak according to Krishna's desire." Unobserved, she does that, and then she says openly, "Friend, don't become hostile on this happy occasion." Krishna says, "O moon-faced beloved, why are you suddenly morose?" A voice from behind the scene says, "O mistress, because of your foolishness, Lalita will not be able to remain alive." Radhika, looking up, says to herself, "Kakati has dispelled my doubts." Openly, she says, "Is it not possible for a single small dim-dim drum to drown out the sun of violent thunder?" She turns her face in aversion. Krishna to himself says, With eyebrows that defeat the beauty of Cupid's bow raised in battle and with agitated lotus eyes, even though contorted in great anger, the face of Radharani delights my heart. Lifting the edge of Radha's sari, he says, O beautiful one, the happiness of these springtime pastimes should be concluded with sweetness. Again a voice from behind the scenes says, Alas, alas! O wicked Sarasi bird! O student of Padma! Even you stare at me from the corners of your eye. Why should I continue to maintain my life breath? Radhika listens and she draws back. Vrinda, how much further am I to be ridiculed? At once stop the stage manager who is the director of this drama. He simply teaches the flute how to kill the entire world. He is simply a pet deer who plays in the hands of Karala's granddaughter Chandravali. Note, if the word Mara is taken to mean Cupid, then the second sentence of these words becomes, He simply teaches the flute how to fill the world with amorous desires. Krishna with a blissful smile says, Friend Vrinda, please pacify Radha. Vrinda says, My dear friend Radha, you are the greatest of all expert and intelligent girls. Please don't suddenly and for no good reason chase away the staff with the hard staff of your jealous anger, the black deer that is your beloved Krishna. Radha contemptuously says, It is not proper for me to stay here. She exits. Krishna says, The Madhvika nectar of sweet words will only inflame the great fire of her anger. What is the use of following her? Vrinda says, What should be done? Krishna says, Vrinda, I desire to conquer Radha by disguising myself as a beautiful, fair-complexioned girl. Please help me in this. Vrinda smiles in assent. Krishna says, Friend, how may I get some golden cosmetics and clothing suitable for a beautiful girl? Madhumango enters and says, Friend, Padma placed all these things in my hand, and they are now in the temple of Gauri. Krishna jubilantly says, Vrinda, I shall be in the inner sanctum of the temple of Gauri. You act as if I am your sister. He exits with his friend Madhumango. Vrinda walks, gazes into the distance, and says, As her two friends pick Champaka, Labanga, and Bakula flowers, an embarrassed Radha tells them everything that has happened. Radha enters. Radharani says, Friend, then seeing that he wished to pacify me, I came here. Lalita says, O Radha, in your presence, Krishna cannot even utter the name of another woman, even in his sleep. You have believed the words of an animal, by nature bewildered and foolish, and as a result you have been cheated. Vishaka says, Alas, alas, Lalita, look! On this Saubhagya Purnima day, our formidable rivals have begun their battle with us. Fate is now mocking us. Lalita says, Vishaka, you speak the truth. If our rivals see unhappiness in our faces during this great festival, they will sarcastically stare at us from the corners of their eyes and then they will laugh. Radhika to herself says, My friends give good advice. What shelter is there in this difficulty? Vrinda approaches and says, Lalita, on Krishna's request, I shall now bring Balaram. Lalita says, Why? Vrinda says, To show him the beauty of spring. Vishaka says, Friend Vrinda, please stop for a moment for a meeting. Vrinda says, You should know the truth. At this time it is very difficult for me to arrange a meeting between you and Krishna. Note, Vishaka asked Vrinda to meet Sandhi with her. Vishaka interpreted the meeting to refer to a meeting with Krishna. Vishaka asks, Why is that? Vrinda answers, Ask your friend who today hurt lotus-eyed Krishna with many harsh words. Radhika sighing says, Oh Vrinda, you are my only hope. Vrinda with pretended anger says, O passionate girl, the Chandala girl of jealousy entered your heart and good advice was not able to even approach the edge of the path of your ears. Now Krishna, who has a host of beautiful-eyed girls under his dominion, has become indifferent to you. O friend, please become free from the dualities of happiness and distress. Why do you uselessly sigh in this way? Lalita says, Where's that enchanter, Krishna? Vrinda says, In the temple of Gauri. Lalita says, What is he doing? Vrinda says, He is having a conversation with Nikunja Vidya. The three girls ask, Friend, who is Nikunja Vidya? Vrinda laughs out loud and says, Aha, the ignorance of these girls. they don't even know about the very famous Nikunja Vidya. The three girls, embarrassed, say, "Friend, tell us, we don't really know." Vinda says, "Oh, chaste girls, what coward girl in Gokula does not know my sister, the goddess of Bandiravana Forest?" Lalita says, "Oh, Brinda, please give us now advice that will make this calamity have a happy ending." Brinda says, "Friends, Nikunja Vidya is a treasure chest where the jewels of Krishna's most hidden secrets are kept. Let us go to her." Everyone walks. Radhika says, "Brinda, this is the temple of Gauri. Please enter and with a signal bring Nikunja Vidya outside." Brinda raises her neck and looks and says to herself, "In the doorway, I see Krishna disguised as a fair-complexioned girl." Openly, she says, "Oh, friends, she is here alone, making an earring from a peacock feather." The three girls say, "Oh, liar, stop, stop. Krishna's peacock, Tanda Vika, is in the courtyard." Vrinda says, "Oh, uncivilized girls, go and see for yourselves. What is the use of speculating?" Lalita says, "Clearly, the peacock was overcome by sleepiness and did not notice when peacock feather-crowned Krishna left." Radhika says, "Let us enter the temple and ask for Nikunja Vidya." Everyone enters the temple. Jatila enters and says, "Padma affectionately told me, 'Oh, noble Jatila, you are very fortunate. Just like Govardhan Gopi, your son will soon become the master of millions of cows. For today I saw Radha worshipping Goddess Gauri at Gauri Tirtha. Now I shall go there and give blessings to her.' Walking, she sees the doe Rangini in the courtyard. She happily says, 'Well done, Padma, well done. You do not speak lies.' Looking again, she becomes unhappy. 'Alas, alas, why is Krishna's peacock, Tandavika, now perched on the head of Gauri's lion? I shall go back and bring my son.' She exits running." Radharani to herself says, "Oh friends, look at the extraordinary beauty of Gauri." The two gopi friends say, "Oh, true, true. It is right that she is so beautiful, for Krishna has placed both love and trust in her." Radhika says, "Even though I have never seen her before, I am still very eager to speak with her." She becomes shy. A voice from behind the scene says, "Sister Brinda, is it not that Radha does not recognize me? Still, I have seen her thousands of times." Brinda to herself says, "Amazing. This is truly the voice of a woman." Radhika says, "Brinda, I do not know why my heart feels such intense love for Nikunja Vidya." Brinda says, "Friend, I know why. It is not surprising she has loved you for a long time." Radhika joyfully approaching says, "Oh, Nikunja Vidya, where is your Nikunja Nagara?" That means lover who meets you in these forest groves. A voice from behind the scene says, "Friend, what person knows him?" Lalita says, "Friend, Nikunja Vidya, please don't joke like this. We are your friends." A voice from behind the scene says, "O girl whose eyes are like autumn lotus flowers, without understanding the actual truth, how will you attain the supreme personality of Godhead, who is like gold created by heating mercury and fire?" Brinda says, "The smile on Nikunja Vidya's cheek declares that she will be your messenger. O Radha, now you should soften her by anointing her with the excellent oil of your love." Radhika says, "O Nikunja Vidya, why are you not bound to me as Vrinda is, with the bonds of love?" A voice from behind the scene says, "Making your feet lotus flowers, your thighs plantain trees, your arms lotus stems, your face the moon, and understanding that these soft things cannot stand without a hard pillar to support them, the creator Brahma made your heart a thunderbolt." Radhika says, "Brinda, look, Nikunja Vidya is affectionately smiling upon me. I shall go and meet her." And then she exits. Brinda says, "O Nikunja Vidya, O beloved of the beautiful girls of Gokula, your heart is very hard. Even though this girl is your affectionate friend, still you do not please her with an embrace." Vishaka says, "Radha is now talking with Nikunja Vidya with the trust of love. Radha is extending the creepers of her arms to embrace her." A voice from behind the scenes says, "O goddess of Bandiravan, look, the time for going to Gokula is now approaching. Please bestow your mercy on us so that we may meet Krishna in the arena of pastimes and enjoy with him there." Lalita says, "Brinda, your sister is now embracing Radhika and kissing her." Vishak anxiously says, I can see that your Nikunja Vidya is shameless. She is very eager to assume the role of a male because she is now scratching Radha's breast with her fingernails. Brinda, with a smile, says, Friend, don't become angry. This is simply the pastime of great love. Entering and trembling, Radharani, knitting her eyebrows, says, Brinda, good. A good trick you have played on us. Brinda is laughing. Friend, I don't understand. What do you mean? The two gopi friends, with a smile, say, Brinda, now you can understand what a charming girl Nikunja Vidya is. Then Jatila enters with her son. Jatila says, Child, Abhimanyu, look. In this courtyard are both Radha's pet doe, Rangini, and Krishna's peacock, Tandavika. Abhimanyu says, Mother, you speak the truth. I saw Balaram enter Gokula village accompanied by the cows and coward boys, but without Krishna. Jatila says, Child, this overflooding stream of sweet fragrance announces the presence of that illicit couple. Abhimanyu says, Mother, today I shall no longer follow Purnamasi's instructions. Now I shall take Radhika to Mathura city. Jatila says, Son, fortunately the temple has only one door. Let us stay by the door and eavesdrop on the conversation. Thus they do that. Krishna, with a smile, says, Radha, please do not request something that is so difficult to grant. Radha, with a playful smile, says, O goddess, have mercy, have mercy. Abhimanyu enters the temple and says, Aha, outlaw, I have caught you red-handed. Krishna, aside, says, Alas, recognizing Abhimanyu from the sound of his voice, my beloved has become terrified and at once fainted, falling like a stick to the ground. Jatila, struck with wonder, she points with her finger, O child, who is this fair-complexioned girl that illuminates this temple with her extraordinary beauty? Abhimanyu, reflecting, says, Mother, Radha said, O goddess, have mercy, have mercy. And then she at once bowed down, falling like a stick to the ground. Clearly this girl is the goddess Gauri, the splendidly beautiful queen of Lord Shiva who has now appeared here. Krishna joyfully says to himself, This disguise of a fair-complexioned girl has been very helpful to me. The two gopi friends say with happiness, O best of the coward men, on your request we worship the goddess Gauri, and now the goddess herself has emerged from her statue. Abhimanyu says, Vishaka, what difficult to attain object was Radha praying for at the feet of the goddess? The goddess speaks and says, There will be a great calamity. Abhimanyu, frightened, says, O noble goddess, what kind of calamity? Krishna, as the goddess, says, Vrinda, my words shudder to reveal it. You tell him. Vrinda says, O proud Abhimanyu, two evenings from now, Kamsa, the king of the Bhojas, will offer you in sacrifice to Lord Shiva. Jatila, alarmed, says, O goddess, have mercy, have mercy. Let my son live. Radhika, happily rising, says, O goddess, have mercy, have mercy. The goddess Krishna, smiling, says, Radha, I have already told you, for now it would be very difficult to stop this calamity. Radharani, bowing down and speaking many plaintive words to the goddess, says, O goddess of the gopis, nothing is impossible for you. Please be merciful to this person. Let me not be separated from my lord. Krishna, the goddess, smiling, says, O Radha, you have conquered me. You have bound me with the ropes of ever-fresh devotion which even great sages and ascetics cannot attain. Be always staying in Gokula and always worshipping me. You will attain the fulfillment of your request. Abhimanyu, sighing, says, O goddess, who is very kind to her devotees, I shall never take Radhika to Mathura. She shall always stay here and worship you. Jatila, embracing Radha, says, O girl who brings happiness to Gokula, I am saved. Vrinda, glancing at Abhimanyu, says, A chaste girl will destroy the lifespan of men who insult her. The supreme goddess Gauri, who responds to the love of her devotees, will now give us her opinion. Krishna, as the goddess, says, O fortunate Abhimanyu, Radhika is the source of your good fortune. Do not ever lose faith in her. Abhimanyu replies, O goddess, Subal dresses up like Radha and makes fun of my mother. When envious, ignorant people see him, they gossip about this mythical scandal. Lalita says, Abhimanyu, fortunately, you yourself have confidence in her. Abhimanyu says, Mother, come with me to my house. We shall stop the servant I've engaged to carry all my household goods to Mathura city. With his mother, he bows down before Krishna and then exits. The two gopi friends embrace Radha with tears. Oh, dear friend, why did these wretched people want to take you to Mathura city? Purnamasi enters and with a jubilant smile she says, This goddess who rules over these forest groves and whose yellow complexion, even though created by cosmetics, eclipses the splendor of gold, brings me great delight. Krishna says, Noble lady, I offer my respectful obeisances. Purnamasi says, Hundreds of blessings upon you, O son of Yashoda. Today you have blessed me with all good fortune, for today I have remained without knowledge of Radhika's sufferings and separation from you. Krishna says, Radha is now rescued from the great fear. Now the sharp point of her anxiety is removed. Now her gopi friends are also delighted and free from all fear. O girl who possesses all transcendental opulence, what else may I do to please you? Purnamasi, with a tear of joy, says, O friend of Gokula, now my birth is fruitful. Still, there is one thing further that I request. Displaying the sweetness of a host of transcendental qualities, may you eternally enjoy auspicious amorous pastimes with Radhika in the groves of Vrindavan forest. O Krishna, who is the springtime that makes the Madhvika vine of Radha blossom with happiness, may that person whose loving devotion for you has already sprouted in his heart, and who, opening his ears, serves and worships the drops of nectar from the splendid and pure nectar ocean of your amorous pastimes in Gokula, attain the kingdom of your transcendental sweetness. May he swim and float in the waves of pure love for your lotus feet. Krishna, smiling, says, O noble lady, so be it. Come here. Not seeing me at the time of milking the cows, my parents will become very worried. Without delay, let us go to Gokula village and give them pleasure. He exits, and everyone exits. Epilogue. This Vidugdha Madhava, which contains the transcendental pastimes of Radha and the 64 transcendental arts, is now completed. May those who are learned and intelligent carefully study it. This play named Vidugdha Madhava was written in Gokula in the year 1589 Saka. The peaceful, saintly devotees of the Lord repeatedly double the value of the good qualities of this book. The dark sky of the faults in this book they cool and decorate with the twinkling stars of the remembrance of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet.
Ruvana Sundarabhava